You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and it's great to be here this morning. Great to be alive, and it's great to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to welcome everyone and thank you for joining us today. So I'm here with three of my cohorts or co-hosts. Same thing, right? Cohorts. Partners in crime.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Let's say partners in the faith.
Yes, there we go.
In-laws and outlaws.
Right, so I'm here with Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deanne Diaz.
Good morning, everyone.
And our brother, Sean O'Hay.
Good afternoon. Oh, come on.
And Sean wasn't here last week because he had to work. And so we missed you. Well, we were here last week.
Yeah.
The days are becoming a blur.
Oh, gosh, they are.
There's a lot going on. And, so we just pray that you're having a great day today and that you are drawing nearer to the Lord. You know, and that's what we, you know, the four of us here, the Lord is our life. You know, he's everything to each one of us, and, you know, we hope he is to you as well. And, you know, even with everything going on in the nation, everything recently happening with Charlie Kirk and other things, you know, God is definitely moving amongst his people. He's moving amongst the youth and the younger generation, and it's a wonderful sight to behold. You know, I've been really encouraged reading testimonies online, you know, from countless people, you know, since the death of Charlie Kirk. There are many, you just see a little, you know, a comment section, you know, I was an atheist. I've been an atheist my whole life, but I decided to buy a Bible and to see what everybody's talking about. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those testimonies. And there's people that are admitting I was a lukewarm believer, but now I'm all in for Jesus. So we just want to thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit, because this is not a work done by man. You can see that this has had a worldwide effect. It's not political. It's a spiritual thing that is happening. And the Holy Spirit is moving, and he's making himself known, and he's making Jesus known. And we just want to embrace what God is doing, and we want to get behind those that are just coming into the kingdom. And, you know, they don't know which way to go, but if the Holy Spirit brought them in, then the Holy Spirit is quite capable of leading them and drawing them in and bringing them into the place that nobody else can bring them. You know, the church, let's just get behind these people and just be there for them. Just watch. I just have this sense to just watch the quick work that the Holy Spirit's going to do in people's life. You know, we don't need to corral them. We don't need to, you know, bring them over here and we'll, you know, we need to help them to dress properly or cut their hair or do whatever. We don't need to do any of that. We need to just leave them alone and pray and be there, because the Holy Spirit himself is doing the work, and he's bringing reformation to these people who are, they're sold out. Each one that comes, they're sold out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what can I do to, you know, I would just impede that in somebody's life. So rather get behind them, pray, encourage, and be there. You know, if there's people in your life that have just decided to start going to church again, which there's many of. But I wanted to say this morning, my husband was telling me that his longtime friend, that, you know, they've been friends since probably they were 10 years old. And he said, you know, we've never had a discussion about God or Jesus or anything. Wow. And so, you know, he says he sends, you know, I think politically they're aligned. So that's probably about the extent of their agreement. And so, you know, my husband said, you know, I send him stuff back and forth and, you know, he'll respond. And he said he sent him something maybe to do with Jesus. And, you know, then he wouldn't respond to anything about the Lord. But he said he sent him something recently and he responded and said, amen. So my husband's very encouraged. Yes. You know, he said, so I know the door's open to now talk to him. Mm. And then just right on top of that, from yesterday, he's friends with our neighbor. They go out to breakfast and lunch and stuff. And we've lived there 15 years. And he said the neighbor was asking him about Jesus and his relationship with the Lord.
Wow.
So my husband just, you know, he said, yeah, you know, I do this and I read my Bible and, you know, just kind of feeling his way around with it. So people are very inquisitive. And I believe that this is the time for harvest. You know, those of us that have, you know, as intercessors, you know, we have been praying for years and years and years for revival, for reformation, for God to move in the nation. And I'm just happy that I see it happening. I see that the Holy Spirit has answered our prayers, and that, you know, that the Lord is saying, you know, I'll take it from here. Mm. You know, so now we get to reap. We get to enjoy the harvest, you know, with all the others. You know, we're going to reap where we've never sown. And we're going to be glad with the others, with family members, with prodigals, with people coming back into the faith that maybe I didn't pray for them, but somebody else did. So we can enjoy the harvest together.
Amen.
And that is what Nanette's... Oh, I thought you were going to show me something, but you will. Anyway, so, all right, well, that's what I have. So the floor is open. I know, Deanne, you had a word the other day that you wanted to share, or maybe not at the moment.
I can, it's only two quick pages. It's what the Lord gave me on Sunday in prayer meeting.
Okay.
Okay. I wasn't thinking about it, but I guess I'm supposed to read it. Praise the Lord. As we were just seeking the Lord on Sunday and praying, God was asking a lot of questions, and it's for us. It's for us, his church, his children, his people. He's saying, locate your faith. What do you believe in the innermost part of your being? Are you swept away by the whims and opinions of the world, or are you rooted and grounded in my word? Quiet your heart and silence your mind. Reach deep down in your spirit to see what you will find. Are faith, hope, and love alive? Are you resisting the devil and all of his lies? Come to me wholeheartedly, and you will encounter the fullness of my presence and glory. You can live in my kingdom on earth as you live and walk in my spirit. Let faith arise so fear and doubt will die. I have called you, appointed you, and anointed you for such a time as this. No gift too small or too large that I won't use it for my end time purpose. Ask, pursue, and be fervent and passionate in your prayers. Be bold in your requests. Do not cease to expect to see me everywhere doing everything I spoke and promised. I will bring it to pass.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for that.
God is still on the throne. He's always speaking. He's always instructing. He's always wooing. He's you know, the Lord draws close to us, and then he wants us to draw close to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's his desire.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, before I share, I just want to send some love to Angela and Roy all the way from Alabama. They listen in. They log in to WCNO. And so I know they're listening this morning. So we appreciate you guys listening in. They're part of the WCNO family. So I just wanted to shout out to them. But there's a couple of things, and this morning I just kept hearing on my drive here that the heavens are open. Yes. It's clear as day. I just kept hearing that over and over, and I just couldn't help but to be overjoy and weeping at the same time. Mm. Like both were colliding, this, not this sadness, but this just this weeping spirit, but at the same time, this overjoyous place. And it was like the heavens are open. And I know we're hearing a lot about, you know, the book of Acts, and particularly Acts 7, in regards to Charlie Kirk and the Stephen of our day, right? But it is interesting that as I was hearing those words, the heavens were open. It's actually in that scripture. Mm-hmm. It's actually in Acts 7. And I just want to take us there because it's after Stephen was appointed and, you know, he was known as a man, it said, that no one could stand against his wisdom, right? And the spirit that was in him. And it got to a point that those around him, even at the very last day, they couldn't help but to see his face. And this is Acts 7, 15, where it says, you know, at this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. Mm. Okay? There was like this transformation. Something was happening that his very own being was changing. Like the light of God's glory was taking over him. Okay? And so he goes on and he starts sharing. He addresses the council with this. I mean, he's repeating history. Like Deanne, when you walked in this morning, you said, man, he's taking me back to Genesis and the foundation and the beginning.
Yes.
Well, right here, Stephen starts taking them back to the foundations. Mm. He starts talking about Abraham and Moses and on and on and on to that time, the present day of that time. Okay? And at the very end, if we can fast forward to Acts 7, 55, it said, well, actually, let's go to 54. It says, the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. I mean, he was seeing this, guys. But he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. So it was just confirmation that I was hearing accurately the Holy Spirit telling me the heavens are open. The heavens are open, guys. This is a time like never before. What are we going to do in it? And then he was taking me back with Abraham, you know, because he had mentioned in Acts 7, right? He was speaking to the council. He was talking about Abraham. And then we remember when he put Isaac, right, on the rock to sacrifice. It was like the Holy Spirit again was reminding me, remember, I sent the ram in the bush. Mm-hmm. And I felt like symbolically he was showing me that that ram in the bush, even today, is a symbol of God's character, power, and plan for all humanity. It's like that's what's taking place. We're going to see God's power, God's character, and his plan for humanity. The ram was provided in the bush. And we know, you know, in context, the ram was a future. It was talking about Jesus being the lamb. Mm-hmm. But guys, he provided something a couple of days ago. And it was a really big, great loss, right, for us. But he provided something for humanity's sake. For humanity's sake. And so we're here to grow God's family. We're here to tell them about Jesus, invite them, introduce Jesus. And like Karen was saying, and he does the rest of the work because he's working it out. He's moving. The Father is calling them to himself. And so that's my little take. The heavens are open.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
If the heavens are open, then the heavens that are open are really declaring and defining what the glory of God really is. Because what's happening in this defining moment is that order in the house of God is being set. And so many people use a term, you know, and it's a half-truth, but they say history repeats itself. And that really is a half-truth. Because in the spirit realm, there are divine cyclonic seasons and cycles when God does something in the earth. And you can't talk about what God's doing without talking about, you know, God's sovereignty. Because in and of God's sovereignty, God governs over every aspect of reality, nature, history, human choices, and salvation without being dependent on anything outside of himself. His sovereignty means that he's supreme in authority, power, and wisdom. He rules over all of creation according to his will and his purposes. Nothing happens outside his permission or without fitting into the actual plan that he has. Yeah. So nobody really ever begins anything except we finish what he's called us to do when we step into that realm of glory and begin to walk in what's called the continuum. And so God's word carries divine intention, and that intention comes with great potential. The potential of the intention is that God has said, I watch over my word to quicken it, hasten it, perform it. It shall not return unto me void. But getting scriptural, if you look at Acts chapter 3 at verse 19, we have to come to the place where under this outpouring, this time, this defining moment, we have to do as scripture says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come. Times of refreshing for believers, times of refreshing for unbelievers that can literally come freely to the throne room and receive mercy and receive help and get their sins blotted out and saved from hell and the grave. Amen. But it says times of refreshing so that they may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And of course, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
But in and of that being said, in the sovereignty of God, in that he rules supremely, eternally, order is being set.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you for saying at the end, you said, we must locate our faith and not be moved by the opinions of mankind.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You know, I've been listening to a song for the last week or so that came up, but it's not something I can download into the system here, but let me give you these words here. Said, this is the song of the new day. This is the song declaring the new way. This is the song igniting a new dance, a new song for the nations to come along. He is leading the way. He is revealing this, his truth. He is the only giver of life. The old has gone. The new has come. He has unclothed us from the past. Now comes the glory accelerating very fast. The Father's goodness overtaking those in the upper room awaiting. And the chorus says, times of refreshing, rejuvenating, joy accelerating. The time where we understand God makes all things beautiful in its time, in its appointed time. Joy divine is mine. Oh, lift up ye heads, O ye gates. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates. Here comes the King. Here comes the King of glory. Unfolding story. Unfolding story declaring God's presence, power, and glory. Accelerating glory. Accelerating wonder. An exploding glory like no other. No flesh shall glory. No man, no flesh, no religious titles ever again be worshipped. Times of refreshing, rejuvenating, joy accelerating. The time where we understand God makes all things beautiful in its time, in its appointed time. And, it's, and then the next verse says, come, Abba Father, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, be God in the midst of your people. Be God over the nations. Be God by your own proclamations. Be God in the highest. Be God in all the earth. Be God to whom hell beneath bow and tremble. Show us your glory, O Lord. Show us your power, O God. Manifest the greatness of your presence in the awesome beauty of oneness, of bridegroom and bride united. Send forth your roar. Times of refreshing, rejuvenating, joy accelerating. The time we understand God makes all things beautiful. And then it says, face to face, O glory embrace, eyes and hearts united in one vision, one purpose, one desire. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is an appointed time. An appointed time for each one of us, the Lord. We've been saying for months, the Lord is speaking to each one of us. He's calling his people. There's no more time to waste. There's no more time to be on the fence. There's no more time to just waddle around and just do whatever you feel like doing. It's time. And just get in. Get in. While you can. I know there's coming a time when the time of the Gentiles has come in. I don't know when that is, but there's going to be a cutoff time, a cutoff date where the number of Gentiles that God has ordained comes in, and then the joining with Israel.
Amen.
And the people of God. So for us that are not Jews that are not in the nation of Israel, that are not Jews. The Lord is bringing us in, us Gentiles, and don't miss the boat.
Amen.
Don't miss the time. Don't miss the season. Don't miss the appointed time.
Yes.
It's I don't know how else to say it, but
yes,
it's time.
We have to understand, as believers and the Word of God, we have to understand the times and the seasons. We can't miss that. And this is what God was giving me last night. Unstable, tossed to and fro. And that's in a couple places. Ephesians 4, it says, we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, mm-hmm. carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Mm-hmm. This is what is happening on the earth right now. Mm-hmm. Even believers, even people that call themselves Christians, Catholics, whatever denomination, they are not in agreement with this situation with Charlie Kirk. They think mm-hmm. that they're calling him names and accusing things that he was not. Right? The accuser of the brethren. They are being the accuser of the brethren, and they are on the wrong side of the fence, and they are serving the wrong kingdom. So God is saying that we are not to be tossed to and fro as children by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, which is what Charlie Kirk did. People, you know what? Darkness doesn't like light. mm-hmm. And Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. The world was already condemned. He came in to save the world. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. It's time for us to grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, that we would be doing our part, that we would be doing what God called us to do. But and then also in James 1 is saying, let him ask in faith. It's talking about wisdom, but anything. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And that's what I was getting from the Lord, this tossed to and fro. Like the body of Christ, we don't know how to answer. We don't know how to respond with the truth. We're under a spirit of fear. I won't take long, Karen, I promise. The spirit of fear, I was looking up. If you don't have this book, Shadowboxing by Dr. Henry Malone, get it. Under the spirit of fear, faithlessness, timidity, inadequacy, rejection, worry, anxiety, fear of failure, fear of man, what others will think of you, lack of trust. We have been under a spirit of fear, but we know the Word of God said he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. We are always to walk in love, never in hate, never in judgment, never in criticism. We are to walk in that spirit of love, with the power of the Holy Ghost and the sound mind of Christ. That's what God has given us, and that's what we've gotten away from. So God was telling me last night, we've lost our mission. The church has lost the mission to share the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out the demons, making disciples. Instead, we are entertaining and agreeing with sin and demons. We're afraid. The church is afraid to say the word sin. They're not talking about sin. They're not talking about repentance. And Charlie talked about those things. He said, repent. We all sin. We all sin every day. Some sins, you know, we think about our very bad sins, but we all sin every day, right? The tone of our voice, how we speak to people. We agreeing with sin and demons, afraid to offend anyone. We're afraid to offend anyone. The world sees a weak, wimpy, powerless church. We are not doing the works that Jesus did and greater works. Men are going their own way. No fear of God. the one who made us in creation. And I'll stop there. This is where God is waking up the church. And it's not going to be church as usual. It's not going to be normal. It's going to be God's way. It's going to be according to God's word. Because anything apart from that, if we're veering a little here and we're veering a little here, and it's, you know what, it's compromise, it's complacency, and it's, what was the other word he gave me? Compromise, complacent, and passive. Mm-hmm. We're being passive, we're being complacent, and we're compromising. And there's no place for that. God's word doesn't do that. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. It never withers. It never fades. That's why he was taking me back. It's like, Lord, I have family members that I love dearly that are really talking bad about Charlie Kirk. And they're trying to justify it with scripture. They're perverting and twisting the word of God. And I'm like, God, how do I handle that? And I'm sure a lot of you out there are saying that. How do I handle that? How do I confront that? Not even confront it, but how do I respond? How do I act? How do I behave? And God was just taking me back to the purpose in Genesis. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to worship him. What's the first commandment? Worship the Lord your God. We've got to get back to the beginning. And if we get back to the beginning and just take it through the word of God, it's the same from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, this may be why last night I was just talking to the Lord and I'm like, gosh, we got all these people on this side that are like, you know, rah, 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 rah. And then we've got the believers on the other side, like, what are we doing? And the Lord clearly said to me, how long will you waver between two opinions?
Yes.
So we know in 1 Kings 18, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. So 1 Kings 18:20, Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him.
Yes.
But if Baal is God, follow him. So this is where we're at. The Lord is giving everyone a clear shot.
Yes.
You're either for me or you're against me. And only us individually can decide who we are for and who we are against. So let's take a break, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
All right. Okay, we are back. So, all right, we were just in 1 Kings 18 with Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And all the people, and the Lord said through Elijah, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Oh, but then the next verse, oh, the end of the verse, but the people said nothing. Can you imagine? A lot of us are in that place. You know, it's like, well, I have no idea what's going on. You know, so wake up. Wake up, people. Go ahead, Scene.
So when Elijah is dealing with the false prophets, you know, the false prophets are always concocting schemes. It says, and David prayed in Psalm 140, Lord, protect me from these evil ones. Rescue me from their violent schemes as they concoct secret strategies to divide and harm others, stirring up trouble one against another. They are known for their sharp rhetoric of poisonous, hateful words. But of course, you know, he also said, by your mighty power, Lord, I can walk through any devastation, and you will keep me alive, reviving me. Your power has set me free from the hatred of my enemies, and you keep every promise you've ever made to me. You know, somebody who really knows that with God has intimacy with God. And, you know, there was a saying many, many, many years ago, know thyself. To know yourself is to have a sense of intimacy about who you really are. And as we inspect ourselves to see if we're really in the faith or not, it's really based on the foundation of truth that we stand on, Christ and his word alone, because that word that's in you creates an intimacy with you and God. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1 there says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of him who's called you by, what did God call us by? His glory and his virtue. That virtue is the expression of that glory. You can't have that kind of virtue without being intimate with him. Face-to-face reality, face-to-face relationship, intimacy always gives birth to the supernatural, the extraordinary, and the miraculous. And when Elijah spoke to the false prophets, what happened to them? Fire came down from heaven. That fire is the zeal of God that we carry as believers. And if we use the wisdom of God, wisdom is not a subject. Wisdom is a person. He's made unto us wisdom to apply the truth of fire.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Well, the Lord showed me, as I was saying, you know, going taking us back to the beginning, there's a confusion. And like you said, Scene, we have to know who we are, whose we are, what are we here for? Like, what is my purpose? We can't just waddle through life.
Can't waddle, just waddle.
Waddle through life.
Word of the day.
Waddle. But there's definitely confusion, and I looking up in the shadow boxing book, the confusion is under the spirit of error, and the Bible talks about that spirit of error. We know the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error, because the error is against the word of God. But we are confused about our purpose to love God, worship God, obey God, and do the word of God. He has given us instruction. And God was taking me to the example that, you know, he's Father. He's Abba Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And we are his sons and daughters when we come to him, when we say yes. And just like we are parents to our, it models, God's relationship with us models our relationship and our parenthood to our children. So if God Almighty is our Father, he has to give us instruction. He has to guide us. He has to teach us. He has to correct us, right? He says, whom he loves, he corrects and chastens. And we have consequences if we don't obey him, if we don't obey his word. Just like us with our children. If our children, we're teaching them, we're raising them, training them, and if they don't obey, they have consequences, right? They have time out. They mm-hmm. have whatever it may be. And this is where the world doesn't want to be corrected. Even children to parents in this hour, they don't want their parents to correct them and teach them and guide them and tell them. They want to do what they want to do. And that is they're in the spirit of error. And we are in, God was showing me, we are in, okay, liberal and conservative. What does liberal mean? I looked up, what does liberal really mean? Not in the political realm. If you don't say it in the political realm, liberal is willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. That's the world. Willing to open to new ideas, accept behaviors, accept, you know, I think I'm this sex, or I'm going to do this, or I want to do this. Okay, but you know what? If it's contrary to the word of God, we as Christians, we can't be open. We can't be liberal to that. We have to be conservative, adhering to the word of God. So we are looking at righteousness versus unrighteousness, conservative and liberal. We're looking, that's right and left. We're looking at light versus dark, good versus evil, obedience versus rebellion. Really, if we're not obeying the word of God, our creator's instruction to us, then it is rebellion. And we know the Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft. So that divination, that spirit of witchcraft, divination, it brings the divorce, the division, the abortion. It brings all of that destruction. And that's what we have going on in the world right now with the spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. Let me pull it up real quick. Rebellion, stubbornness. I do not see it. What is going on here? That's okay. One of you can go ahead. I'm not finding it. Legend. Divination. Okay. Yeah. Rebellious stubbornness. Diviners, witches, anything of the occult, anything that's not of God's word and our, it's not about religion. It's about relationship with our creator, being intimate, as Sean said. You know, anything of that. It's of the occult. It's false doctrine. It's false teachers. It's false prophets. That's all under the spirit of error. Racism, prejudice is under the spirit of error. False tongues, false the prophets, false preachers, false teachers, anything of the occult with false doctrines. It's compromise, deception, mm-hmm. confusion. That's all under the spirit of error. So we know any spirit not of the Holy Spirit, any spirit contrary and not of the Holy Spirit, it's of the spirit of the Antichrist. It's of the spirit of darkness, which is the Antichrist. It's all against Christ and against his word, because he is the living word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I just saw a little clip yesterday on Instagram with, I can't remember her name, but she was running for, I don't know if it was Miss America, but they had asked her the final question, you know, by the panel. And that
she's
was
from New York, right? I think the one
I'm
that
not, I don't remember what her name was, but she was a Christian, mm-hmm. and Perez Hilton was one of the judges, and he asked, and he's, you know, homosexual, so he had asked her, well, you know, Vermont, you know, just approved same-sex marriage, one of the four states that had already approved it, and he was asking her, how do you feel about it? So she said, in her mind, she was processing, well, you know, we'll just, people can do whatever they want. And she said the Holy Spirit convicted her right on the spot.
Yes.
And she said, well, this is what, you know, you say, or this is what the world says. She said, but I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And, you know, she ended up losing the worldly crown for that, because, she came as runner-up. But she said that was a very difficult thing, but, you know, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, she chose to say, yes. which would be considered conservative, yes. you know, because she didn't go along with the crowd.
Yes.
and say what the crowd wanted. But she said later on that she talked with him, with Perez Hilton, and said, you know, I forgive you for asking that, because he really did it to really goad her
sure
into saying something. And anyway, she said that
she didn't compromise, so great is her reward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then, you know, he did apologize for doing that, but yes, so conservative is standing up for righteousness.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, I think you were probably referring to 1 John 4:6. Mm-hmm. And actually, we can read, it says, I'm going to read the Amplified Bible, and it says, we who teach God's word are from God, energized by the Holy Spirit. And whoever knows God through personal experience listens to us and has a deeper understanding of him. Whoever is not of God does not listen to us. But by this we know without any doubt the spirit of truth motivated by God, and the spirit of error is motivated by Satan.
Yes.
So it's clear yes. as day. But, you know, I caught something further down the line, and I just want to read this snippet to finish 1 John 4. Starting with 7, but it says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, so that we might have eternal life with him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take us away, to take away our sins. And it says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Mm-hmm. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Mm-hmm. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. Mm-hmm. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Mm. This is black and white, guys.
Yes.
For if we don't love people as we can see, how can we love God, black and white, whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believer.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
There's no colorful there. I mean, it's black and white. Black some and things white, in the word is God. Just black and white. We don't have to get all spiritualized and think it has a deeper meaning.
No.
Sometimes it's just plain Jane.
Yeah, and you're talking about love. Everything in that about love. And this is God gave me last night, too. To not speak the truth in love is not love. By us being silent, by us going with the flow and just acting like everything's hunky-dory, right? Another word, hunky-dory.
Waddling and hunky-dory.
This is not love. God said it's a disservice.
Yes.
And it's selfish. Mm-hmm. Because we're more concerned about what they're going to think about us, what they're going to say about us. They don't want to have a relationship with us. They don't want to be around us. They're going to get angry. They're going to retaliate. What? It's selfish. Because God says if we don't tell and share truth, how can people be saved? How can people be set free? How can they be delivered from the deception and the captivity of the enemy, right? And I still remember from years ago, I heard Patricia King say that, you know, God is love is her ministry. She said there was a homosexual man, and God told her, the Holy Spirit led, told her to go speak to this man. And she's like, oh gosh, you know, I don't want to offend him. You know, you never know how they're going to react. But she just said, I went and said, you know what? God loves you so much. And I love you so much. That's why I have to speak the truth to you. I can't judge you. I'm a sinner myself. But she said, the word of God says that homosexuality is a sin. It's not of God. And this is what God's word says. And she just shared it with him, truth and love. And he thanked her. He said, thank you so much for being so nice to me and so kind to me and so loving and sharing that with me. And he went away. Well, she saw him sometime later. He came back and he said, you know, he said, I talked to God and he said, he set me free. He set me free from the homosexual spirit. I'm now serving the Lord and I'm God's using me to help others. So because she wasn't silent, because she obeyed the word of God, that's love. Speaking the truth is love. But you do it with the fruit of the Spirit. You don't do it with criticism. You don't do it with judgment. You don't do it with arrogance that, oh, I'm holier than thou and I'm, you know, self-righteous. No, we all fall short. And we must be walking in love, sharing the truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, it continually says, forget not the Lord your God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Joseph Stalin, who walked in a high form of pride called hubris, it's a very high level of pride. That brings you to your downfall. But, you know, Joseph Stalin said, if we can get one generation to forget about God, we can propagate communism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, communism is really the opposite of what community is really about. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of what communion is really about. It's the opposite of what we share in Christ. Because God is our God. And, you know, success only breeds after success. And in the realm of the Spirit, in this time of refreshing and outpouring, there's a momentum for the people to begin to walk in this continuum, set themselves apart from where they've been, because the Scripture says our lives have been hidden in Christ, where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and grace. But there's a secret place that a lot of people still carry because they're stuck. But just know, because Jesus Christ already paid the price once and for all, his blood was presented at the mercy seat of God. Forgiveness has already been provided. Life has already been provided. Abundance has already provided. So set yourself apart and allow yourself to be established in the truth that will set you free, bring deliverance, and cause you to walk in total liberty.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Live as if you've already been completely set free and redeemed, because you have.
Amen.
You know, we've been trying to live the finished work of the Holy Spirit, you know, just like one piece at a time, rather than living in the fullness of it and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work as we're, you know, carrying on. Mm-hmm. That's really a foreign concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel like we have to arrive somewhere, But yet we've already arrived because the kingdom of God is within us.
Amen.
And as he reveals himself to us day by day, walk in that revelation. But don't let that keep you from doing things because you're not set free in a particular area. Mm-hmm. Just live like you're redeemed. Mm-hmm. And walk in it. Live in it. Mm-hmm. And as Nanette said at the beginning, the heavens are open. And the heavens are open, and the Lord is on the scene. Mm-hmm. When he's made himself known, then that's the time to just jump in. Just remember that old, what was that song? Forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't remember what the song was. Mm-hmm. but yeah, concentrate on him, not yourself. Yeah. Not on how much further you have to go.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't focus on what isn't done yet in your life. Focus what is done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is that you have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that you belong to him. And that you are completely loved by him. You're accepted by him.
Yes.
And he's not looking at all the stuff you haven't completed yet. He's looking at you as you already are completed in him. So you want to live that way.
Amen.
Just step up to the plate and do what you know to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we got about 4 minutes or so left.
Yeah, it's, you know, I keep hearing this song. It's only by his spirit, right?
Yeah.
It's only by his spirit. And so there was a difference when the Pharisees and the Sadducees placed themselves on the temple or the altar and gave these grandiose speech of the law and how it felt so rigid and cold and so separate from God. And these people were just listening to it and just feeling the weight of it. Just feeling the weight of it, feeling the yoke of bondage, of slavery, of sin. But yet, when the disciples went into the sea and they were called by Jesus, the language changed. The language of love took place. The language of our Messiah, the truth, the one. The language drew the people. The language felt good.
Yes.
Even though it was the same message, it was the same word, it was the same quote unquote laws, but it was deep, it was life giving, it was hope, it was redeeming.
Yes.
They were facing the same sin, yet love gave them the courage.
Yes.
To say, wow, he came for us, he did it. So we call those who don't know him right now, those that do not know him that way, that people can say hard things to you, but you just are so overwhelmed by that love. That's the love of salvation. That's the love of Jesus Christ. That's the love of making him Savior. That's the love making him Lord over your life. I invite you today to meet that Jesus. All we can do is invite. All we can introduce is the way, the truth, and the life. Ask him. Ask him to make himself known to you, however way, whether you be in your car, in the bathroom, in your workplace, separate yourself right now and ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will. He did it for me. He did it for Deanne. He did it for Karen. He did it for Scene. He's doing it now. Don't miss that invitation. Don't let it go by. For the King of Glory has opened the heavens. He's just inviting you to his family. The one he thought about from the beginning of time, from the Ancient of Days. The one that he created after placing himself in the very own ground. And breathe on it and made us in his image. That's the one. Make him your Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. All right. Well, we're out of time. And we just want to thank you so much for joining us today. Again, you could go to WCNO.com if you want to make a comment, if you have a prayer request, or just go to WCNO.com. But thank you so much for tuning in today, and we will be back next Friday. God bless. Join me again next Friday at 11.